6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Start spreading the news, baby.
Start spreading the news. The Huskers are victorious in the Pinstripe Bowl. Let's let Frank go a little bit longer. Sing it, Frank. Part of it.
New York. You know, beautiful. I'm not a Yankees fan, but I appreciate
the organization. I'm trying to do the leg kick.
I appreciate that they play this song at the, you know, after victories.
Well, the Huskers took over New York City is what they did.
We did.
It was pretty cool. I'm with you. I'm not a huge Yankee fan or a Yankee fan at all, but it was cool to kind of have that partnership with the iconic franchise and play at Yankee Stadium and all those things. And of course, the connection to the Gotham Bowl, which we talked about a bit in our last episode. But most importantly, Huskers get the win. 7-6 never felt so good, fellas. Look, I know, you know, hopefully, like Coach Rhule said at the end of the, I think it was after the Wisconsin game, this is the last time we celebrate 6 wins. Hopefully we're celebrating much bigger and better things into the future. But gosh dang it, it feels good to have played in a bowl game. It feels good to have won the bowl game. Mm-hmm. First winning season since 2016. First bowl victory since 2015. And it is the first winning season that ended with a bowl victory since 2013. So it's been a while for Husker fans.
Checked a lot off the list there.
That's right. Feel free to celebrate to your heart's content, Husker fans. We're going to get all into the Pinstripe Bowl victory over Boston College. But, you know, one way you can celebrate is by ordering some delicious beef from Certified Piedmontese.
Oh, yeah.
Premium Nebraska beef, raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state. You can get it at your local Mercado Butcher Shop in Lincoln or Omaha. Or if you go to cpbeef.com, you can get Certified Piedmontese shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. And you can get 25% off using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN. Go to cpbeef.com, see what they have to offer. It's not too late to get it for New Year's or, hey, maybe you're doing dry January. Maybe you're trying to be a little bit healthier in January. You know what fits into that? Great. All beef is, you want to do Whole 30? All beef is Whole 30 compliant. Any diet you're going to be on can include beef. Unless it's a vegetarian diet. But most other diets.
You can
get the grass-fed beef if you want. You can do it however you want to do it. They've got everything. Yeah. They've got everything at CPB. Yeah. Check out cpbeef.com. Use the promo code COMMONFAN. get all your beef, kids. Also, check out some Common Fan socks.
Yes.
Look, Christmas is over.
I wore some yesterday.
I wore some on, yeah, yesterday for the game. First time.
Love it. So, look, Christmas is over, but you're going to have birthdays. It's still going to be cold for like months to come. You're going to need socks, people. Everyone needs socks. Go to silliesco.com, 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 and use the promo code GBR for life. That's GBR, number 4, LIFE. We've had a ton of Common Fan listeners and viewers order the socks. We've had people send us pictures of them wearing the socks during the games. Absolutely love it. Get your Common Fan socks. And the other thing is, when you use the GBR for life promo code, you get 25% off any sock on the site. So they got a lot of other stuff unrelated to Nebraska football, a lot of fun and silly socks. Go to silliesco.com to check it out and learn more. Fellas, 2015, a victory over Boston. We knew we had it all along.
Yeah.
Husker was dominated. No problem.
No problem.
Nobody was sweating at the end.
No issues there.
No problems.
Nope.
God forbid we just
slammed the door. We're not going to be too negative today, but gosh dang it. I'll tell you what a big picture. We're going to get into the game breakdown here a little bit. On a rainy, wet day where the conditions were clearly a factor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Husker offense looked really good. Like they were, they basically, I think we punted twice in the second half. Other than that, the only time we stopped ourselves, like the only time we were stopped was when we stopped ourselves, basically.
Yeah.
We were driving on the first drive, Dylan threw a pick. Emmett had a fumble somewhere in there that resulted in a turnover. And then that one in the second half, which we'll get to, where we had it second and goal at the 5. And we threw 2 incompletions on second down and third down, which is very frustrating. We love Dana Holgorsen here, but he's probably listening. We just got to tell him that you need to decide to pound the rock there. And then that fake field goal so we got no points out of that whole thing.
Yeah.
So that was really frustrating, but all in all, Emmett looks so good. You know, Dylan, I'll tell you what I felt, guys. Remember at the beginning of the year, when we were like, what is this new feeling when it's 3rd and 7 and we actually believe we might actually get a first down?
Yeah.
Ever since, like, that feeling has slowly come. Yeah, it went away.
Yeah, it's come back a little bit.
It's come back since Holgorsen's been here. Like every game that Holgorsen's been here, you have a little bit of belief that he can draw something up. And they're showing they can make plays and convert. So that's really, really encouraging. I think there's just tons of reason for optimism going into the offseason about the offense, right?
Yeah.
And Holgorsen's a big reason for that. So
I agree. Nice to see him kind of like get into his own now. You know what I mean? Like when he first came along, you know, you weren't expecting too much of a change with switching out coaches like that. But it's nice for him to get in the door now and kind of put his fingerprint on it. It was kind of refreshing to see. And to your point, it felt good and a little bit more confidence that we would be able to pick up those third manageables if we tried. So it was nice.
It feels like there's just a little bit more of a plan and like a rhythm to things. You know, like I mentioned to you guys in our buddy text thread, that I kind of, even though we weren't hitting on them, I liked that we were taking deep shots.
Yep.
And even when they take those deep shots on first or second down, it's like, okay, well, you know, that's all right. We have a plan for whatever is going to happen on second or third down, obviously. But no, I really liked it. I too thought the offense moved the ball pretty dang well. Did think we kind of, maybe in just my perception, but it felt like we got a little conservative second half. It was kind of like, oh, we've got this thing in the bag. But that's things they'll figure out in the offseason. But I do think that, you know, the 3 games we had with Dana and then the extra practices for the bowl, I think it showed up. And I thought that was a good feeling knowing, okay, we got all this extra time. Like, what did we do with it? Right. You want to see in the bowl game how it looks.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty good.
Well, and it's nice to know when they take that deep shot and they don't hit it and it's 2nd and 10, you don't immediately feel like, okay, the drive's over.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Forget it. There's no way we get
10 yards in 2 plays. There's no way.
I agree. The only thing, though, is it would be nice if if I won't ever, I'm not gonna be hypercritical, but can Dylan at least put it in the orbit of the receiver once on one of those deep shots? I just feel like it's not very accurate right now. Like when that thing goes up in the air, I'm like, that's not even gonna be close.
I think some you can attribute some of that to the playing surface and footing. Like,
yeah,
I'm not just totally making excuses for our guy, but you know, you don't really, you put it out there normally, maybe on a dry day, your guy's getting there for that, you know, some of those deep balls, but I don't know. Yeah, you're right, but I attribute some of that to the field conditions.
I did enjoy it. Speaking of field conditions, I think somebody pointed out on Twitter X how ironic it was that the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl had like the worst grass.
I said that to my
worst
family
field
yesterday.
Conditions of any game.
We're eating our halftime snacks. I'm like, isn't that kind of ironic? You know, the Bad Boys Pinstripe Mowers Bowl and the yard. Yeah. The yard looks terrible.
No one's going to need a mower when the yard is completely torn up.
Yeah, exactly right. Yep. Yeah.
No, we're gonna need some grass. We're gonna need some grass seed.
And put down some sod.
Some sod.
All right, let's get into the game recap, and in doing so, we can kind of focus on flip it here for a minute, focus on the performance of the defense. So the Huskers get the ball to start the game. We went 46 yards in 5 plays. Like, we were moving down the field. We were at first and 10 at the Boston College 26-yard line, and of course, Dylan throws that pick. So that was frustrating. But then listen to this for what the defense did. They certainly bent, but they rarely broke. Here's all of BC's possessions in the first half. Missed field goal, turnover on downs, turnover on downs, turnover on downs. Right. Yeah. And so the Huskers gave up drives of 68 yards, 40 yards. The third turnover on downs was just 3 yards after Emmett Johnson's fumble. And then the BC's last possession of the half, they had 12 plays, 71 yards. But again, they clearly did not trust their kicking game at all. They're one of the few teams in the country that apparently has a worse kicking game than Nebraska.
Good Lord.
And they just stopped trying to kick field goals. And so turned it over on down. So again, like, it kind of was like, as the game went on, I started feeling like they can get some first downs. This is fine. They're not going to get in the end zone.
Yeah.
I was, cause it was 20-2 going into the fourth quarter. And I was so excited to tweet or comment to you guys or something to make a joke about how the black shirts pitched a shutout at Memorial State or at Yankee Stadium. And then of course we weren't able to do that.
Yeah.
But, you had to go and say that, didn't you? You had to go and say it.
I didn't say it until after they gave up a touchdown.
But things did get considerably more tense after that too. After you sent that text, TJ, I noticed that things weren't going the way we wanted them to go.
Don't try to put this
on
me.
Stop doing that.
Do not try to put this on me, Jeff.
But even when it was 20-15, like, did we really think Boston College was going to march the ball down the field and get in the end zone and score?
Yes. Yes, I did. I was scared to death.
It certainly felt too close for comfort. I still felt pretty good about it. I didn't want them to get the ball back, though.
No.
You know, I didn't like it. Because then, you know, yeah.
I mean, weirder things have happened to us over the years.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly.
That's all that's happened to us in recent
years.
But
we're turning over a new leaf.
We're learning how to win.
We're learning how to
be optimistic.
Yeah. And so the Huskers, meanwhile, so we had the Dylan pick on the first possession. We scored a touchdown on our second possession and made the extra point. So that was nice. The third possession was Emmett's fumble. Touchdown on our next possession. And that was when, so it was 13-0. And then instead of just kicking the extra point, like every football team in America does after a touchdown, we get the extra point blocked.
Yeah.
And for the second time since 20, was it 2021 against Oklahoma? I think it was 2021 against Oklahoma. For the second time in just a few years, Husker fans have to witness not only a blocked extra point, but the other team running it back and getting 2 points.
Yeah.
Running back an extra point. Who does that?
Ridiculous. I know.
Ooh. How does that happen? So instead of 14-0, it was 13-2, and I don't know. Maybe I'm overstating this. It just felt like Boston College, like, suddenly had some life.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It was like we should have just gone up 14-0, and they should just be putting their tail between their legs and sitting in their rainy corner of Yankee Stadium. And instead, it was like they had a little bit of life.
Yeah,
glimmer of hope.
Just really frustrating. And then they did put together a drive, and thankfully we forced a turnover on down. So we go into halftime up 13-2. And then the Huskers The Huskers force a punt. They can force a three and out. So Boston College gets the ball to start the second half, and the Huskers force a punt. And at that point, I thought to myself, okay, I kind of think we might just run away with this thing. Like, I was a little concerned. Okay, if they go down and score, it's 13-9. I think I texted our fantasy football group. There's plenty of time for things to get weird with the weather and with everything else. Yeah. When we forced that three and out, it was kind of like, okay,
we're good. Yeah.
I think we're good. I think we're good, which is why would we ever think that as Husker fans? Why would we ever think that?
Who knows?
That's never the case. But then that, so our very first possession, guys, I want to hone in on this for a minute, was that one. So we get it at our own 40, which is not bad. And so we put together 10 play drive, 53 yards, and we get it. We have it first and goal at the Boston College 9 yard line, right? And first play is an Emma Johnson run for 4 yards. So it's second and goal at the BC 5. And we're not going to criticize Dana Holgorsen here. We may come close to some
easy tread
constructive
lightly
suggestions here. Here's calm down. Okay. Okay.
Take it easy.
So second and goal. So the next two plays were incomplete passes. And then we did a fake field goal at fourth and goal from the 5, where Buscini, the holder, it appeared that his only option was to run. I actually have no problem with the fake field goal. I even said that was, we had already done a fake punt on this drive. That was, this was the drive where we did the fake punt and got it for a first down on kind of the middle of the field. And I actually, like, you cannot trust the kicking game. We're going to talk about special teams in a minute. So, you know, you can't trust the kicking game. So maybe that's one reason, like, rule said they liked the look they got for purposes of that fake field goal. But how does he not have an option of someone to throw it to?
Yeah.
Right. But let's go, let's reel it back a couple plays. It's second and goal at the 5. You know, you can't trust your kicking game. You're running the ball pretty well. Like, you're winning both lines of scrimmage, which I felt like we did most of the game. You just say, we're going to put Ty Robinson in at fullback again, and we're going to run the ball 3 times.
Yeah.
We know we're not going to kick it if it gets to fourth down. We can get 5 yards in 3 plays. We're going to pound the rock. We're going to shove it down their throat, and we're going to get in the end zone here. That is my minor critique. Dana Holgorsen, we love you. Drink all the Red Bull you want in the offseason. Write up as many plays on the back of napkins at as many local diners as you can find. We're all for it. Just pound the rock there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that one felt like they were trying to get Dylan a touchdown pass to me. Like, you know, it was 13-2 at the time, right?
Yeah, 13-2.
It just felt to me like, hey, let's call a couple of short pass plays, try to get the kid a touchdown pass and a stat line.
Get him some stats, yeah.
I hope they don't think that way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, who's worried about his stat line? The Heisman Trophy Award ceremony's over. I really hope they don't think that way.
They probably don't, but that's my way.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And it just, look, I don't think it was too early to say you put the game away, but when you force the three and out, you force the punt, and then you march down the field, that would have just been another like punch in the face to Boston College that would have made it, I think, you know, again, Nebraska, especially one thing we're going to talk about too is the Huskers. I don't know how you do this. It feels like an intangible almost. They've got to get better at playing 4 complete quarters.
Yeah.
And that when you do that, you're much more likely to close the door. When you're in control of a game, if you continue to execute consistently, you're more likely to slam the door. We haven't done that very well.
No.
Right? No.
So, like, you've got to get the touchdown there, in my humble opinion.
That's right. I think going back, when it's second, like, you're to your point, when it's second and goal from the 5, I'm with you. I don't have a problem with the fake field goal. I have a problem with the way that the fake field goal was drawn up, if that makes sense, or that play. Well, why not just, if you're going to do a fake field goal on fourth and goal from the 5, then just like call a normal play, keep the offense out on the field. In my opinion,
interesting. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Interesting. But you know, going even further back, run it on second and goal from the 5. Exactly. Run it on third and whatever, third and goal from wherever, and then just go for it. Run it 3 times.
Yeah, that's exactly. So that was frustrating, but it's still 13-2. BC gets the ball back. They hit like a 34 yarder on their very, it's like, okay, well, we still pinned them back. They're inside the 10 yard line, and they hit that big pass right away. And it was like, here we go. Here they're going to go down and score.
Yeah,
we didn't get points. Now they're going to go down and score. We're going to give. We're going to lose it. This is over. Everything's over. It's terrible. And then a couple plays later, John Bullock, Johnny Bullock, we've called
Johnny
his name
B.
so many times this year, forces the fumble, and it was recovered by Elijah Judy. And so that was huge. We get the ball at the 50-yard line, and then we go down and score. That was the Emmett Johnson touchdown pass, if I'm not mistaken. Or was this Quentin?
Yes.
No, that was the Emmett Johnson touchdown pass. And we actually made the extra point. And so it's 20-2, and then we force yet another turnover on downs. So at this point, that was the one where Boston College went all the way down the field. They got to the Nebraska 2-yard line and we held them. I mean, the defense really bowed up. So that was huge. So at that point,
I'm going to nitpick on that one too, because that was the fourth and goal where Sierra Wright basically had it and dropped it. Like, granted, we got to turn over downs, but we're talking
the ball.
Taking it over on the 2 yard or on the 20 yard line if he catches it for a touchback, or on the 2 yard line where they had the line of scrimmage. So, like, that's a big difference. And then what happens next for BC? They go down and they score, right? After we punt.
Yeah, right. And I would also wasn't that the same drive earlier in the drive where Deshaun Singleton dropped the interception? Just completely dropped it where he was playing.
Maybe that was a different drive. I thought that was the third quarter, but I could be wrong.
Maybe it was earlier. I think either way it was earlier. But like either way, like we've got to start executing on
catching interception.
And I would also say, like, going back to the earlier discussion, Dylan did find Jamal Banks in the end zone on one of those two pass plays that was incomplete where we were saying they should run the ball. And I think it was tipped a little bit, but Banks has got to come down with that ball. So let's give credit where credit's due. It didn't look like exactly how it was drawn up, but he found somebody. And so they had an opportunity there. So yeah, agreed there, Matty O. We did get pinned back. But at that point you're into the fourth quarter, you're still up 20-2. So my thinking was, okay, it's first and goal, or it's first and 10, and we're pinned all the way back at the two, but like that's more clock that's running.
We got a first down.
And we got one first down. So like we're taking more time off the clock, even if we don't, we ran over 4 minutes off the clock with our drive. And then we punt and they go down and score. So at that point it's 20-8, and you know, I think we're about half, you know, so about half of the fourth quarter left. You're still feeling pretty good about things, right? We've been moving
less than that. Three minutes ish.
Let me see. No, so when we, let me see, they scored their touchdown.
No, I'm sorry. I was looking at the time, right? Of, the time of the drive.
They scored the touchdown with 6 minutes left. Yep.
Yeah.
So at that point, you're still feeling pretty good. We got this was where we got really conservative, I felt like.
Yeah.
So we, you know, it was Emma Johnson run for 5, Emma Johnson run for 1. So on 3rd and 4, we had that completion to Ja'Cory Barney that, you know, didn't go anywhere. So I've said it before, guys. If it's 3rd or 4th down and you're going to pass it and you need 4 yards, throw it 4 yards.
Yeah.
If you need 6 yards, it drives me nuts when you don't throw it to the sticks, right? Anyway, just a pet peeve. So this was where we got pretty conservative. We didn't get a first down and we had a punt blocked.
The last thing that could have happened there. That is the last possible thing that we should have allowed to happen in that situation. And that happens to us a lot. I've said that. I know you've said it multiple times in reviews, recaps of other games, TJ, where we've had a situation in a lot of games where it's the last thing that we possibly could have had happen in that situation to happen. It's infuriating.
I mean, it looked like we weren't even set up for a punt, for like punt block. Like, we know they're going to bring, like, did we think that they were setting up for the return? Because like the way that they had like 3-4 guys all running free towards the punter, like it looked like we weren't set up for like max protect on a punt.
And like, think about this. Even if they're going to score a touchdown there, let's have a good punt and make them take several minutes off the clock and have to go down the field instead of, you know, exactly to your point, Jeff, giving the ball at the 2 yard line where of course they punch it in, and suddenly it's 20-15. And here's where I want to give some credit to the Huskers. And we've talked about this before too. Yep. So they score a touchdown. There's 4 minutes and 18 seconds left in the game. They score a touchdown to make it 20-15. We get the ball back. We get the ball back with a little over 4 minutes, right? How many times going back to the Frost era, going back to the Riley era, even, how many times have we said that we get the ball and we just needed, it wasn't just one first down. Sometimes it's been two or three first downs, but we basically had a lead and controlled our own destiny and we couldn't do it. Yeah. I'm thinking of Michigan State in 2021. I'm thinking of Colorado in Frost's first game ever, I think. I'm thinking of Purdue in 2019. But there's a ton of them. I mean, there are a ton of examples where we know the games where we fell short and couldn't quite get a lead, couldn't quite get over the hump. But there's plenty of other games where we had a lead and all we've got to do, we control our own destiny. All we got to do is get two or three first downs and we couldn't do it.
Yep.
And they did it this time. That is something different. That is something new. They do deserve credit for that. And what I love, one thing I love is they showed some balls on the very first play, first and 10 from the Nebraska 21. They had that 15-yard completion to Fedoni.
Yeah.
And because you think about it, you don't want the incomplete pass to stop the clock. You expect that they'll probably just try to run the ball here, but immediately get a first down. The very next one was the Dylan run for 5 yards where he slid. And they call the penalty on Boston College, and Bill O'Brien completely lost his mind.
Good Lord. Yeah. Which, by the way, that went on for – let it go, Bill. All right? He's still complaining about it like three plays later. Just let it go. It didn't go your way.
And BC fans were all over Twitter whining about that play. Look, they're going to call that. They're going to call that in 2024. Like, they're protecting quarterbacks more than ever. It's certainly – I like the announcer said, the quarterback can slide whenever he wants. So I saw some things on Twitter suggesting Dylan was dirty. And it's like, what does that even mean?
That had to be a Boston College sliding fan account.
It was the Boston College, I think, Barstool account. I think what I learned, at least based on Twitter,
dirty
that what? Boston College fans don't know a lot about football and they're a bunch of whiners. That's what I learned based on Twitter.
Sounds about right.
Is it even a basketball school? I don't even know if it's a basketball school.
They're really not really anything school.
No, that's exactly right.
Notre Dame owns them all the time, TJ.
Good academics.
Notre Dame owns them all the time, TJ. They're nothing.
Not 1994, this is a
Nebraska football podcast.
So we got a first down there. And then, of course, like the final nail in the coffin, we run it. Ramir Johnson for 5 yards. Ramir Johnson for 3 yards. So it's... Dylan kept it. Dylan ran for a yard. Oh, that was the one.
And the sliding early. He's got to figure out the
he's
sliding.
He's got to work. That's another thing.
We're like, on the field, dude. Got to know.
You're still missing
the
cutoff man. just let's work on our deep balls in the off season, and let's work on field awareness.
Yeah.
There have been multiple times where he had the room to run to get the first down. And he slid too early. If anything, like the problem with sliding too is it's where the ball is. Mm-hmm. And so when you slide, the ball goes backwards. Yeah. At the very least,
like a yard or so.
Just dive. Yeah.
Yeah. Just dive.
I did think that was not a great spot. I thought it should have been about 4th and 1.
Yeah.
Even with the slide,
I didn't think
he was a full 3 yards behind the sticks. So that was frustrating because one thing I loved about that drive also. And I thought it was by design in real time, but the way they talked about it afterward was it was Dylan's decision both times to pull the ball and keep it and run. And I loved that because we don't do it very often.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done it. And so it's sort of like unexpected wrinkle that was super helpful, I thought, in those drives. So
and how cool that he wants to do that. Like,
exactly.
You want your quarterback to say, give me the damn ball.
Yeah.
I'll run it here.
Absolutely.
So
he pulls it on 3rd and 4, slides too early. But then of course, Ramir, he gets hit. It looked like he was going to be stopped short on 4th and 3.
He breaks loose
and it ended up being an 11-yard run and BC was out of timeouts. So it goes down to the 2-minute warning, which is still the stupidest thing ever that they have that in college.
Timeout.
But then I was like, during the commercial, I was like saying to Michael, I was like, wait a second, how long is the play clock? Is it 40 seconds? Is it 45 seconds? Hold on. How many, 40?
I was trying 80, to run the math. 120. Too.
Yeah. I was like, can we just kneel it? Are we good? And so then they came back and they went in victory formation and the Huskers ended up winning. And so, man, it felt good. We don't get to do that very often where we're just we've got the game in hand and we're in victory formation and we're kneeling to close it out.
Yeah. Felt good.
You TJ, I know it's been a while. So did you have a plenty of leftover Christmas cookies to celebrate with? Did you relive
Just
your
gorging
childhood with this
himself.
game? Like, were you just reliving your childhood?
Because as common fans know, I live in the Pacific time zone. So I actually made certified Piedmontese beef bacon.
Ooh.
I made regular bacon, pork bacon, and
Wow.
pancakes. And pancakes.
Damn.
So we
That
had a
sounds
nice
fantastic.
big feast, kind of cooked it all up right before it was all we were kind of ate and we're ready to go right before kickoff. So we had a nice breakfast. And then, Jeff, to answer your question, we've eaten so many Christmas cookies that the peanut butter blossoms are all gone. And so I'm gonna have to, I'm
Wow.
actually, I told my wife
Yeah.
I'm gonna make more. It's not New Year's yet. It's still Christmas
It's
season.
still the
I'm going to make
holidays.
more.
Yeah. It's
Yeah,
still the
exactly.
holidays. A few more days.
Definitely.
What about you guys? Do you guys have some good spreads for the game?
Jeff.
I'll be honest with you. No, we all just kind of got up and we were in our pajamas and just sat there and watched the game. Like, just
Love it.
I
That's
guess
good
burn
too. Yeah.
out.
That's
Yeah.
part of it. Yeah.
Yep. No, didn't really have any like snacks per se. Ate some breakfast. Kids had some cereal for the game. Let's see. I had a Clif Bar. That's what I ate for breakfast for
Okay.
the game.
Okay.
Clif Bar, and it was great. Yeah,
That's how you
just
stay
chilled.
so slim. What about you, Mattio?
Yeah.
We ordered in some wings, a couple
Lovely.
different kinds of wings, and then we had some layer, what do you call it? 7-layer bean dip
Oh,
and
okay.
some spinach artichoke dip. So we did like a wings and kind of a chips and dips,
Yeah. Yo,
veggies and
how's
dip.
the diarrhea today?
You know what? Surprisingly, TJ, I haven't had any issues.
That's great to hear.
Thank
That's great
God.
to hear.
Yeah. See,
That sounds like a wonderful combination, but I can tell you how that's going to hit me the next day. Just
I
every time.
trust that. I trust that dip because you made it in your own house. But if someone brings a 7-layer dip into the office and sets it down on a counter, I'm not touching that thing. I will trust if it's within my home.
That was
I'm
my
sure it's
request.
delicious. Yeah.
I had a hankering, by the way, great word, hankering. You don't hear that enough anymore. I
Anchoring.
had a hankering for some of that dip. I don't know what it is, just like a corn chip, a Tostito with some of that layer bean dip for a bowl game. I mean,
Yeah, love it.
you might
Go
confuse yourself and think you're watching the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. You get too having too
Oh,
much with those things.
that's exactly right. Okay, fellas. So I want to just talk about a few things. We will unpack. We'll have like kind of a whole, at least one, maybe multiple kind of
Unpackings.
season review type episodes, and we'll kind of look back at everything. But I just, I you know, I could you couldn't help but have a few big picture takeaways from yesterday. Okay, so. Let's do a couple of the negative real quick, because I want to focus mostly on the positive. Look, the special teams has been so bad,
Atrocious.
it's been almost comical. Like it's to the point of like, of course we get that punt blocked. Of course they block the extra point and run it back for, like that's terrible. That's a tro like it's like so, but
Yeah.
nobody knows that better than Matt Rhule, though, right? Okay,
Right.
so like it's
Right.
not like we're all sitting here and he's unaware of that,
Yeah, like
right?
why can't he see
Right.
this? No, that's
Right.
not the deal.
So he said after the game that special teams is in for basically a complete overhaul, I believe was the phrase that he used. So I don't know what that means. They've already added a punter and a long snapper. Thank God. They've had
Yeah.
issues with snaps all season long in the portal. Assume that means a new special teams coordinator or coach or somebody new. It's just Ed, we've talked about this. We love Ed Foley. We're not. I hope he still has a job. He loved him to be on the Nebraska staff. He can still keep up his efforts, his outreach to the Nebraska high schools. He can still take pictures of his meals at the various diners around Nebraska. But do not let him near the special teams operation
Yeah.
moving forward,
Yeah.
right?
I mean
So
that game sealed his fate for sure. If
I think it was
there was
probably
any,
already
if there was
sealed. I
still,
think it was
yeah,
probably
I'm
already
just gonna
sealed.
say,
Yeah.
if it hadn't already
Yeah.
been sealed, it probably had. But yeah, that was not
But
good.
we're bringing in Washington's punter from the transfer portal. It sounded like he had some pretty good. I don't remember watching him throughout the season, but he had pretty good numbers, I think, or was pretty solid for Washington. We're bringing in
Great
a long
leg.
snapper.
He's got a
I
great
think
leg.
great
Like
leg
those
numbers.
numbers. Love those
Great
numbers.
numbers. I think they're going to run with Johnny Hull and I get maybe Tristan Alvano as well. I mean, Hull, several of his misses were blocks or like bad fumble, sort of bad
And
snaps that led to bad
really
holds,
early on,
right?
yeah. If it
Like
wasn't blocked and
so
it was a miss, it was early on in the year, and he kind of felt like he got his
yeah.
footing, pun
So I mean
intended.
we'll have to trust them a little bit, but like you've got to have as we've said many times, you got to have more consistency with the kicking game. But what's interesting, guys, is like even that we've talked about this, the return game is non-existent. The
Right. Yeah.
coverage is so-so. It's like it's almost like we've just decided halfway through the season we're not even going to try to return punts. And then on the flip side, maddeningly, it's like, but I will bring this kickoff out of the end zone. I'm only going to get. I could just kneel it down because they have that new rule, isn't it? If you fair catch it or kneel it or whatever inside the 25, you just get it at the 25, right? Even if it's not, it's like a new player safety thing. Even if it's not all the way in the end zone, you can basically get it at the 25 for free at all times. And we're like, now I'm going to catch it at the one, and I may only get to the 16-yard line, but I'm bringing this
I'm
baby
doing it.
out.
I'm doing it.
So it all needs work. It all needs to be overhauled. And thankfully, I think they're going to do that.
Yeah,
So,
they
yeah.
will.
And I think, Rule commented, I like this like big picture thought. He basically said, I think the defense can hold steady, maybe even be a little bit better. And I think his reasoning, we lose a ton of guys on defense, which is like Ty, Nash, John Bullock. They said Javon Wright's going to petition for another year, but he's technically out of eligibility right now. Singleton, I'm missing guys, but we're missing, and we've already lost a bunch of dudes in the transfer portal, as you guys know. That's a concern, I think, but like Michael Sevier told us this previously, Rule is always going to emphasize defense, and he's always going to be a defensive first program. So I think they feel pretty good about the defense. And we'll talk in a minute about the young playmakers we saw yesterday, by the way. So his point was,
Baby.
his point was, I think the offense is poised to take a leap, and we're already seeing that. If the defense can hold steady, then we just need special teams to be functional, right? Like you've got to have like passable, acceptable special teams play. It doesn't even, it'd be nice if it excelled, but at least it needs to not be a hindrance, right?
It needs to
So,
exist. I don't even think we
right,
have it.
exactly. Exactly.
That's really my only glaring, I guess, negative or concern is, right, at least you ask me today, right now, going into next season, I'm not really worried about the defense. I'm not really worried about the offense. I'm glad we're bringing in a bunch of wide receivers, because I think that'll help a ton. But special teams really is kind of like, to me, the only like glaring concern. Like, are there little needs here and there for some position depth? Yeah,
Yeah, for
but
sure. Yeah.
unit wise, like, oh yeah, offense looked a lot better the last few games, and defense looks like they're going to keep playing the way they do. And so yeah, let's play some special teams.
And let's talk about that defense. I mean, Vincent Shavers looked like an absolute missile out there.
Yeah, he did.
He's all over the field. He's wearing the single digit number one. I'm pretty sure I read before the game he got a black shirt. So that dude's going to start next year. He's a true freshman right now. He's going to start next year.
He
Willis
was
McGahee the fourth, also a true
also
freshman,
very good.
all over the field. Caleb Benning got some run. Amari Sanders. Who was the guy you mentioned?
Donovan Jones out of
Donovan
Omaha
Jones.
North
Yes.
played 55 snaps.
Look
I was
fantastic.
a.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was
Look
a.
fantastic. And so like, and I think, and we've added, like we lost, we talked about several guys are graduating. We lost a bunch more dudes in the portal, but you got the young talent. And then we added this five-star edge rusher from Missouri. We've added what two, at least three, I think three or four more defensive linemen in the portal. I know they're still looking. I think they'd
Couple
like to add it.
linebackers.
Yeah. We've added, oh yeah, linebacker from Oklahoma. We added. So like, look, I think Rule's never going to be like Coach Prime or Cignetti, where you bring in a whole new team from the portal. But the fact is, if like as we've said, it giveth and it taketh away. Like it does allow you to replace your glaring needs without having to be like, who's the true freshman that can step up when this other guy left, right? So I look for them to add some more depth pieces, like you said, in the portal. But I think all, by and large, the there's a lot to be excited about on the defense for next year. And interesting, like I think, hopefully that like they shut down BC's run game yesterday, pretty much, right? And I'd like to see them bend a little bit less, right? Like I'd like to see them look a little more dominant. But it's a bowl game; it's hard to know what to take away from that. But I do think they're like they were more aggressive, I felt, yesterday.
Yeah,
A lot
and
more blitzes and forced a fumble. and we're in place to make two picks that, you know, we've got to make those plays. But like, I thought they were overall more aggressive under new defensive coordinator John Butler.
Yeah, and BC,
I
I thought
agree.
BC really had something schemed up with, like, they ran so many screens, and then after like the second or third, I'm like, oh, okay, this is like part of the game plan, which, like, you know, you run screens against an aggressive defense that's getting up the field. Without all the screen plays they had success with, I think their numbers would look absolutely even more atrocious, because I think they had a lot of passing
Yes.
yards. But a lot of that is
Yeah.
like, hey, it's a screen with, you know, the guy's got three blockers and we have two defenders, so we need to work, like, shore that up a little bit in the off season, so it's not like, hey, John Butler, you know, he's susceptible to screen plays. But yeah, for the most part, I thought they did a pretty good job. I 100% agree with you though. If we could stop bending so much, that would be great. I still there was a couple
Got
of
to get off
those,
the field on third down. Got to get off
yeah,
the
a
field on
couple of
third
those
down a
like
little bit.
9, 10, 11 yard like out routes happened yesterday, and I was like, there it is again, dang it.
Can I just say on that note, we've probably made this point before, and I have no data to back it up in the at the moment. Does it feel like everyone else can execute a beautiful screenplay and the running
Except
back
us.
just has miles to run? And when we try
Ah.
to do it, it always gets sniffed out. Does it feel like it's been that way for about 20 years now?
A little
Yeah.
bit. I
That's why
think
we did,
Dana
that's
will
why we were
help
telling
out.
them not to do that anymore. So we said, no more
Exactly.
screens. We're not doing that anymore.
Exactly. Hey,
Stop the screens.
Emmett can catch passes, man. That's what one
Damn
thing
right he
I've
can.
noticed just
Damn
over
right
the
he can.
last 4 games or so that we didn't really see. And a lot of it because he just wasn't getting opportunities on the field, but he was, I just had the stats in front of me. He caught 5 passes.
That's
Yeah,
great.
granted, 5 for only 28 yards, but that's 5.6 per. I mean, that's a nice check down that gets you in a manageable second or third down.
Reception
That's
touchdown in the
huge.
game. Yeah.
I
That
like
touchdown
this.
was off of reception.
I like this transition to the offense, Matty O. Let's talk about Emmett for a minute. He reminds me of Amir in
Yeah.
the way that he can. How about that play? I think it was in about the third quarter. He was dead to rights in the backfield, and he completely juked that guy out of his shoes
Yeah.
and ended up getting, I don't know, 6 or 8 yards or something on the carry. The way he reminds me about Amir more than anything is Amir, even when the blocking was poor, seemed always to be able to make guys miss in the backfield and
Yeah.
at the very least get back to the line of scrimmage and often get more than that. And Emmett reminds me of that as much as anything.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I would agree with that. That's a good comparison.
And I just think, you know, flipping to the offense, you know, Dylan obviously is sort of the cornerstone of this offense. You hope and you look for, again, he was very good this year. You look for a big leap, I think, in year two, right? There were some mistakes, some true freshman moments, some things we've identified, maybe better on the deep ball, maybe a little bit better decision making, at least when it comes to things like sliding, whatever. But I think under Holgorsen, like he's primed for that to happen, and he's primed. I think
Sure.
Holgorsen will continue to put him in positions to succeed. Ja'Cory Barney, so promising. Emma Johnson, still only a sophomore. I mean, he'll be a junior next year, but still, you know, not you know, he's got 2 years left.
Well,
And then I think
look.
we only lose two offensive line starters. I mean, Holgorsen said in the pre-bowl press conference he wants to add some guys in the portal. Now, I don't know if that means. Rules first two recruiting classes brought in a ton of young guys on the offensive lines. I don't know if that means they're just not ready, or maybe some of them are not coming along as much as he'd like. So I don't know what that means exactly.
Yeah.
But they want to add some guys on the O line. But then, I mean, you got Carter Nelson. Harburg looked like he'd been playing tight end his whole life yesterday.
Yeah, that was
A
awesome.
couple of these transfer portal wide receivers. They're going to
And
have weapons on offense next year. And Holgorsen gives you that confidence that they'll know what to do with them.
yeah, and look who's been playing some of his best ball the last couple of games. Our old buddy Thomas Fedoni. Like,
Yes.
he had some big catches yesterday, and he had some big catches against Iowa. Like, it turns out, like, maybe he needed to be like benched and be like, hey, let's go, man.
Yeah.
Because something
And
clicked
look,
for that guy.
well, I mean,
Yeah.
hopefully Fedoni comes back, and I have no reason to believe he won't, but like you just never know in this day and age. But
Yeah.
Fedoni, Lindenmeyer, and Harburg, suddenly you've got like versatile pieces that can be tight ends, but can also line up in like that H-back.
Yeah.
Backfields like Lindenmeyer has come out of nowhere
I know. I
under
love that
Holgorsen's
guy.
tutelage. He's a beast, and he had a huge catch yesterday
Yeah.
for yardage. And so like suddenly like that feels like a pretty exciting position. Then you add Carter Nelson, who they use as a receiver this year. I think long term he's a tight end as well. I mean, they've got some really versatile sort of athletic pieces they can play with next
Yeah,
year.
but again, talking about going back to the wide receivers. So Raiola had 23 completions. He was 23 of 31. Okay, so not bad. So Banks caught four passes, Barney three, Lloyd one. Only eight completions to wide receivers. I'm glad he's spread, like Dylan's, we're spreading the ball around, but is that a thing of where we're just not throwing to receivers, or is it a thing of like aren't that confident in the receivers that we're throwing to? And maybe I'm just reading too much into it, but I go back to, I'm really glad we've got some
I think
playmaking
we've got a
receivers
lot of
coming in the
weapons to
portal.
choose from. He's just got a lot of weapons to choose from. That's what I'm saying. I'm sticking with that.
I'll tell you what, I'd love to see a little more Jalen Lloyd in
Same.
2025.
I've thought that for
I
weeks
was
now.
super annoyed. I think it was a deep ball to Jalen Lloyd, and he was covered, and it was incomplete. But the announcers were like, "That's one piece that's been missing in this offense has been the receiver with the speed to take the top off." And it's like, no, Jalen Lloyd is that
Yeah,
guy.
he's the speed to take the
He
top
is the
off.
speedster. And so, I don't know if it's a Marcus Satterfield thing or if Lloyd still needs to develop a little
Who?
bit, whatever. Exactly. But I'd love to see more Jalen Lloyd. I mean, because I feel like, look, yeah, Dane Key from Kentucky's coming in. You assume he's going to be a starter. This Hunter from Cal, who comes in with 3 years of eligibility left, and he had pretty good numbers this last season. So a couple big transfer portal pieces, no doubt. But I hope you still continue to see, you're going to see Barney. You're going to
Oh,
see
yeah.
Jalen Lloyd, Carter Nelson, all these guys. So I think there's going to be a lot of weapons, but I'm a little bit hesitant because like going into this last year, we were like, oh, this Jamal Banks guy, and Banks has been very solid. This Isaiah Nayer guy, I think we kind of thought these guys were both going to be like 1,000-yard receiver types, and we saw how the offense stalled out a little bit. So I have more
And
hope
they
with
were good. They were good. They're
they were
like,
both good.
we don't have Nayer and Banks this year. I don't know what that wide receiver
That's a
room
good
looks
point. That's a good
like.
point, Matt. That's a
Like,
good point.
it
I think
looks
we, but I, yeah.
pretty bare if you don't have those two. Now, Nayer could have won us the game against Iowa,
He
and
seemed to fade toward the end of the year.
remember Banks couldn't block on the outside. Like, it's like it'd be
I guess
nice if we
that's what
had
I'm saying.
somebody
I
that
guess that's what
could.
I'm saying. I think you hear these names and you see they're ranked really high in the transfer portal. And I
Right,
think
let's
the
see how
mind
they
is like,
do.
oh yeah, these guys are going to be all conference. And it's sort of like, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
But I think all in all, I mean, Holgorsen gives me more optimism than anything else about the offense.
Yeah.
Right? I
Yeah.
think we said it
For sure.
when we were in that God awful losing streak. Like maybe we said it when we talked to Olsen on Veterans Day. Maybe not all of these guys are first team all conference caliber types. The players are good enough.
Yeah.
Like the players on the field are good enough to be in a position to beat Ohio State. The players are good enough to be in a position to win every game except the Indiana game. Right. And so like what's missing? What's that missing ingredient that is preventing us from getting over the top and winning some of these games? And I would argue this season, it was special teams failure. Special teams absolutely cost us the game against Iowa, arguably cost us the game against Illinois, and almost cost us the Rutgers and Boston College games.
Yeah,
And so
almost cost us
special,
the bowl game.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So special teams is one piece of that, but I also think like the offense stalling for extended periods of time
Yeah.
in some of these games really hurt us. And so you hope with Holgorsen, you see a little more explosiveness and a little more consistency on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Yep.
One final thought, guys. Just let's end on this really positive note. I'm so happy for Ty Robinson, Nash, John Bullock, Ramir. Oh my
Ramir. Yeah.
gosh.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Ramir, he said he lives 15 minutes from Yankee Stadium. He
That's
said it's
amazing.
a ton
Yeah.
of friends and family in the stands, scores a touchdown, has the game-sealing run, 60 yards total on the ground. And then Rhule tells the story. You guys see this? Rhule tells the
Yeah.
story after the game. His mother died in November. And he didn't tell anybody but Emmett, his buddy Emmett, because he didn't want to be a distraction. He only left during the bye week so he could go to the funeral. I can't imagine going through all of that
No
I know,
kidding.
and
right?
just suffering alone, basically, and keeping it to yourself because you don't want to be a distraction for your team. And Ramirez's been there since Frost. He's been there since 2019. He's given a lot of these guys have. He's given so much to this program. Bryce Benhart's another guy.
Yeah.
And Jamal, even the transfer, like Jamal Banks, like all these seniors, whether they've been there for 5 or 6 years or they came in and gave Nebraska a chance in the last year or two based on Hope based on Matt Rule, whatever it was. You know, all these guys, they've worn the N on the helmet. They're Huskers for life. And I'm just so glad. And you hope the storybook story would be in 2 or 3 years when we're in the college football playoff or next year. When we're in the college football playoff, you look back and say, this was the foundation. And these guys, they don't get to be part of this team, but they help set the foundation for greater things. That would be ideal. But regardless of how it plays out, I'm so happy for all of the seniors and the guys who have. It's probably, look, you think about, I don't care when you come to Nebraska, even if it's after we've been through several losing seasons, you don't think you're signing up for multiple losing seasons in a row. You believe, as an athlete and a competitor, you believe you're going to be part of the group that turns it all the way around. And I'm sure it's been much more of a roller coaster than any of these guys ever suspected it would be. And so for them to finally end on a winning season, end with a bowl game, end with a bowl victory, I think it really meant a lot to them. And like
Yeah, one score game too. Like that's another thing as a list. Like something that a lot of hurdles we made it over that we've been trying to for a long time. So that is really cool.
Absolutely. And Rule said after the game, he encouraged Ty Robinson to consider not playing in the bowl game. It's going to be a wet, sloppy field. You know, Ty's got clearly going to get drafted pretty high, I think. And sort of like, you don't have to do this. And guys like Ty and Nash and all these guys with NFL dreams, and for some of them, likely NFL, likely going to be drafted. They said, no, we're playing. Like, we didn't do all this not to play in the bowl game. And I love that in this day and age in college football.
And I think it says a lot about the and I hate again this word culture, the culture down there and the program that they're starting to build, that guys are saying that. They're not like, no, you know what, I'm gonna opt out. But the other thing I thought of was, it's gonna be more and more infrequent that there are guys that are at a program that long, 5th and 6th year seniors.
That's right. That's
Yeah,
exactly right.
that's a
Portal and
thing of the
everything
past.
else.
Like, I was thinking about this on when we had senior day. It's like, gosh, senior day sure has changed a lot. And so that part too, like, it'll be very rare for us to have like guys that have been here 5 years, or like Ramir for 6 years,
Yes.
and then they get to go out on top. And hopefully they are the team that turned things around for good.
Yeah.
Well, it's as we discussed, the Gotham Bowl in 1962 kicked off Devaney's era of greatness. And similarly, I do believe this, the 62 years later, we play in a bowl game in New York City for only the second time. We win it again. We in a close one. It was 36-34 in the Gotham Bowl in 62. I do believe this will kick off a new era of greatness for the Huskers. We have to believe it.
62.
And
There's some significance with that
yes.
number there, TJ.
And then
62.
62 points in the Fiesta Bowl when we beat Florida,
62.
62-24. This is like
Whoa.
Lost or something. Like, what's
My
going on here?
high school football number
The Dharma
was
Initiative.
62.
There's something going on here. We're definitely winning it all next year.
Yep.
And guys, I just want to just it's so thoroughly satisfying on the same day as this great bowl win for the Huskers was Colorado getting completely exposed
Good
by
Lord, did they
BYU
ever? Did they
34 to
ever?
14. Every good team they've played this year, they've lost to.
I think BYU had three or four interceptions just giving the ball to Colorado, and I don't think they came out with any points from it. Any of those turnovers. It's unbelievable.
It made me so happy. And ne Nebraska put a beat down on Colorado. BYU put a beat down on Colorado.
Kansas
They
State
lost
beat
to Kansas
Colorado.
State, who's not even that good.
They lost to a bowless Kansas team. Now Kansas was
Oh,
better
because
than their record, but
but
and they
still.
caught fire towards the end of there, but they still beat
And
Colorado.
I didn't see it, guys, but I saw a lot on Twitter and even post game. There was an article about it, how like BYU fans are pissed because the announcers couldn't stop talking about, oh, Colorado and their talent and Shadur and Travis Hunter and all this stuff and Coach Prime. Meanwhile, BYU is completely manhandling them the entire game. And look, we get it. Like everybody's in search of clicks and media companies are bottom line companies, but like, come on, man. I mean, the storyline's a little old. And like they had the most favorite. They didn't play anybody good. They didn't play Arizona State. They didn't play BYU during the regular season. They didn't have to play hardly anybody good in the Big 12, and every good team they played has completely exposed them. So makes me very happy. I hope everybody in Boulder is miserable And I'm just it's really curious to see like what happens to this team. That Travis Hunter is going to be gone. Shedeur Sanders
Yeah,
is going to be
that'd be
gone.
interesting. Definitely.
Be very interesting. I wish we were playing them again next year. I really do.
Yeah. Friend of the program, Taylor McGregor, was in the house too at that game.
She was.
Yeah.
Nice. She
Yep.
was at what it was the playoff game in Austin. She was
Yep.
part of that crew as well. And did a great job. So friend of the program.
Friend of the program.
We'll
No
have to
big
get
deal.
T-Mac. We'll have to get T-Mac back on maybe once all the playoff stuff has died down, just to talk about that experience. And
Yeah.
for sure.
I wonder if she'll be part of the crew for any of the, I bet she'll be at least one more playoff game.
Yeah, probably.
All right, fellas, anything else?
Yeah. I RIP to
Oh
my
God. Oh
mustache.
God, Jim.
It
No, just kidding.
got us the bowl game win, the mustache. I had to take it down today, but thank you, mustache, for getting us a victory yesterday.
The
You
common
can't be.
fans and Husker Nation aren't buying it, Jeff.
Yeah, no. Thank you, mustache.
You know,
You've done
earlier
us
in the
well.
year when we
You've
needed
done
that
us well,
mustache,
mustache. You've done
when
us
we
well.
needed that mustache earlier this
You've done
season,
us well, mustache.
it failed us.
No, it did
And
not fail
you
anybody.
can't selectively take
Yeah,
credit for
no,
things with the mustache and
I
then
will. I will do that.
not
Thank
take
you. Yeah.
responsibility when things go poorly. You
Thank
can't
you,
do that.
mustache.
I'm surprised you
Appreciate
didn't
it.
do like, did anybody notice anything different
Yeah. I noticed you looked less like a pedophile. I noticed that. So that was good.
Just a little less.
Yeah, only a
Still
little
very
less.
pedophile looking.
Apologies to the 12 people who are still
Thank
listening.
you,
Yes.
mustache.
Yeah. All right, common fans. The great news also for you common fans is that we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here all off season. I think we're going to scale back our cadence of 2 episodes per week, and most weeks we'll do one episode. Now, occasionally we might still do two in certain weeks. We do one episode per week in the off season, but we're going to have a ton to talk about. And now we've been at it for over a year here. We're almost to our 100th episode, and we just love doing this with you, common fans. We appreciate all you who watch and listen, and we're just excited for what the future holds. And we're excited for a great batch of off-season episodes. It's going to be August again before we know it, guys. And we're going to begin our march to the playoffs. So I can't wait for all of it. Geoff, did you have
Be
something to say,
great.
Geoff?
No, I did not. I just agreed with you, TJ. It's been fun, and the season went way too fast. I'm sad it's over
It
already.
did go way too
I think
fast. One thing about
goodbye.
the podcast is I feel like it makes the season go by a little bit quicker, but
Yeah.
still makes it more enjoyable too.
It
Yes.
does. And then, you know, there's like you said, there's going to be lots to talk about. We've got some staff changes probably coming. We got to
More, I'm
find
sure
out
more
some
portal
final
activity, more recruiting activity.
roster additions and subtractions. Then we're going to be getting into spring ball. You know, it's going to be great.
That's gonna be
Yeah.
so great.
We're
It's gonna be
going to make
fantastic.
it, right?
We're gonna be just
We're going to make
fine.
it to
Yeah, we'll
August.
be fine, common
Yep,
fans.
we're
We
going to
just will
be
be
here
it.
before. It'll be here before you know. I saw a Masters commercial already. We'll be in the spring before you know it. The Masters commercial came on
Oh,
today,
yeah,
so
that's when it gets real
yeah,
interesting, Jeff.
that's when things that's
When
when
you
things get
start to hear
really
those
exciting.
dulcet tones of Jim Nance.
Hello,
Maybe
friend.
it's right around Easter time.
The tradition, unlike any other.
Yeah.
All right, common fans, celebrate the bowl game. Celebrate. I
Yes.
love one more point. Somebody on Twitter, I thought, somebody was giving Nebraska crap for, celebrating a no-name bowl game, being 7-6 and whatever. And it's like, other fan bases, they criticize us for living in the past. And then when we're excited about the future, they criticize us for that too. It's
Can't win.
ridiculous. Like, it's been a rough stretch, common fans. We all know that. We got to a bowl game. We won the bowl game. Celebrate it.
Enjoy it.
We
Enjoy
hope.
it.
Yeah,
Were
we
we
hope.
supposed
Yeah.
to be mad that we won?
Exactly.
Like,
We hope there's bigger and better things in the future. But for now, we get a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling all off season because we won the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl.
that's right. And those buttholes better buckle up because there's a heck of a lot more, a hell of a heck of a lot more winning. I just almost, I feel like I had a stroke there or something. There's a hell of a lot
Buttholes.
more winning where that came from.
That's exactly
Buttholes. Get
right.
ready
So
to
much
deal with
winning.
it, buttholes.
So much winning, b-holes. All right, common fans, we'll be back at you soon. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy everything. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Knife.
keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.